Chick, it is so wonderful to be here talking with you as part of the Charity and Security Network Peacebuilding and Practice web series. You've been one of my great friends and heroes in this field for so long, and it's just great to be here today to talk with you about a place that's very dear to your heart, than Colombia, which, as you know, has been embroiled in conflict for a number of years, but there's real hope on the horizon. And I'd just love to hear more about your experiences there and what you see for the future.
Well, thank you, Melanie. It's such a treat to be here with you, one of my heroes and dear, dear friends. So it's mutual, great pleasure. I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Colombia almost 50 years ago, 45 years ago, and fell in love with the country and with the people. In fact, on my desk, I always have two flags. I have an American flag and a Colombian flag because I consider myself to be part Colombian. But when I was there as a Peace Corps volunteer, they were had just come out of a period known as La Violencia, 50 years of violent conflict, and they thought it was over, that they had come up with a new political system and thought it was a thing of the past. Yet, during that same period of time, very quietly, a new revolution was taking shape. A Marxist group, now known as the FARC, was mostly over land reform issues, but it was forming and using guerrilla tactics to try to promote their cause.
And these land reform issues were not addressed in the peace agreement that ended the
violence. That's correct. The peace agreement handled kind of the liberal conservative political issues, but did not address the land issues and many of the poverty issues.
And so we would recognize as real drivers of conflict.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's right. So, we heard some stories about it, but it just wasn't that large an issue at the time. And of course, everybody's aware of the drug issues, and that was also just getting started at that time. So, I came home from the Peace Corps and paid attention to what was going on in Colombia, but with growing concern, because the stories just got worse and worse and worse. Both the drug trafficking and the political violence with the FARC and then the ELN, another leftist violent group with a somewhat different agenda. So it just got worse and worse and worse. And they've managed to kill about 200,000 people over the last 45, 50 years. So paid attention to it, never got directly involved in it until just recently. I met with people, talked with people, but hadn't had an opportunity to go back to Colombia and meet with them and become directly engaged in what they're doing. And just a month ago, I got invited by the government to go back to Colombia to observe and learn about and engage in a dialogue about their DDR program. Mm-hmm. DDR is a term that has just caught on fairly recently. It's a strategy, it's a way to deal with conflicts like this, of demilitarization, demobilization of the guerrillas, and reintegration so that they're reintegrated into society. And of course, the key to that is that the temptation is, these are people who have taken up machine guns and raped and pillaged villages and tried to overthrow the government. Normally, you would throw those people in jail forever and throw away the key. DDR says, let's try a different approach to this. Because if they know while they're fighting in the jungles that if they're captured, that's what's going to happen to them. They have no future if they're captured. They're lucky if they even survive, or they'll spend the rest of their life in jail. The DDR says, if you'll turn yourself in, we'll give you an opportunity for a new life.
So it's both an incentive to stop the fighting, but
Absolutely.
Also an insurance policy.
Absolutely.
So that the fighting doesn't start again.
So that instead of trying to conquer the guerrillas militarily, you provide an incentive for the guerrillas to stop fighting and to have a better future for themselves, and along with this, to address the issues that they started fighting over in the first place, the land reform issues and so on. So there are efforts to actually address some of those issues as well.
So before you talk specifically about the DDR efforts, can you give us a sense of where that fits in the overall peace agreement that's being negotiated now?
Well, it's probably the central issue of amnesty for the fighters, because there are those who have not yet voluntarily left the guerrilla forces. So what do you do with the leaders of the FARC and the ELN? Mm-hmm. Do you give them amnesty or do you put them in jail? And you know, the temptation, these are people who've spent 50 years, killed 200,000 people. Are you going to give them amnesty? Well, maybe you're going to have to in order to bring about an end to the violence. You could say, no, you don't get any amnesty. We're going to put you all in jail forever. And they'll go back and say, then we're going to keep fighting forever and ever and ever. Because they've kind of made their own lives in the jungles. They kind of have their families and develop their own community. But the way they survive is through violence. So, you know, you can continue that forever. And the odds of the military ever destroying them and conquering them is pretty darn remote. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, okay, we'll make a deal. You know, we're not going to put you in jail for the rest of your life. There needs to be some sort of punishment and restitution, but we're not going to put you in jail for the rest of your life. We're going to create an opportunity for you to get on with your life, and certainly for the thousands, tens of thousands of people who, frankly, for the most part, joined the guerrillas because they came from abusive households or leaving just abject poverty or just didn't see any hope for their own future. And along comes this guerrilla force carrying guns. And I got to meet and talk with people who literally a week before have been in the jungle carrying AK-47s and had decided to come out. And I talked with them, said, you know, what caused you to go in the first place? And one young man had been in for 10 years. He went in at age 10. He was 20 years old and he just left. He said it was the guns. It was just that appealed to him. You know, he grew up in a very poor household and he saw these guys with guns and said that would give him strength and power. And so that appealed to him. And so he went off and joined them. But you need to provide them with an alternative. Mm-hmm. And the DDR program is providing them with an alternative.
And also breaking a cycle of violence.
Breaking a cycle, that's right. You can go on trying and trying and trying to conquer them. You're not going to conquer them. You may do damage to them and reduce their size, but you're not going to conquer them and you're not going to destroy them. But by providing a better alternative to them, which is fundamental to peace building, a better alternative, a peaceful path is a better alternative than a violent path. So what the Colombian government is doing, and by the way, this is coming from the Colombian government. This is not people from the United States or from Europe or anywhere else coming in saying, hey, you stupid people, stop doing this crazy stuff. This is Colombians themselves making a decision to do this, to create the DDR program, to create an amnesty program, create a new opportunity for the people from their own communities and villages who went off, joined the fighting forces, provide them with an opportunity to come back and have a better life. Truly remarkable.
And how do you sell that to the rest of the population who might have had loved ones who were killed?
It's not easy, and they're addressing that and confronting it. One of the difficult issues is that they're creating real opportunities for these people who leave. They take them through a six-year reintegration process.
6 years?
6 years, because they've concluded that that's what it takes to do it right. Mm-hmm. 6 years. The first 2 months, they're in a special camp where they go through psychological evaluation and skills testing and do, this is very interesting, do an assessment of whether or not to reconnect them with their family and their village. In some cases, that's a good thing to do. In other cases, it's not. The village will not accept them back.
So
their family will not.
Basis.
Case by case, each one. And they've done this with 56,000 people.
Wow.
56,000 people. And they put them, so the first 2 months, they go through all of that analysis. And then they're placed in a community, maybe the one they're from, if the community's willing to have them back. If not, sort of like a witness program, witness protection program.
Interesting.
Totally different place, totally different identity, so that they can start a brand new life.
Huh.
And so they become integrated into the community, they get job training, just life training, how to carry on with a normal life. And this goes on for 6 years. Huh. For this reason, they started in the guerrilla force at age 10 or 12, when they should have been getting a regular education. You can't come back having missed that education period in your life and become a normal, productive member of society. Mm-hmm. You need that 6 years of education mm-hmm. to become a normal, productive member of society. So they make it possible for them to have that kind of training and education. Need extraordinary commitment. And this is 95% of the funding for it comes from the Colombian government. It is not foreign aid. They are doing it themselves. And they have calculated that it's one of the best investments they could make. Yes, it costs a lot of money, but costs a lot more to put them in jail. Mm-hmm. Put these people in jail for the rest of their life. That's going to cost a lot more than 6 years of education compared with the rest of their lives.
Or if the violence flares again.
And the violence. Mm-hmm. So you're spending money fighting them and spending money putting them in jail. Or you can make a serious investment in rebuilding their lives.
An investment in peace.
They've concluded that that's an awfully good investment.
With good dividends.
Good dividend, yeah.
To what extent is this an issue just in Colombia, or is this an issue for all conflicts?
Well, it's happening all over the world. Fascinating thing about this conference, they call it a South-South conference. This was not a North American or European conference where we experts from the North come in and tell them what to do. I was the only one there from the United States. There were a couple of people there from Europe, and we were not there as experts. We were there to listen and learn. Yes, they asked us for our thoughts on it, but most of the people that were there were from Africa, from Asia and the Middle East, and other South American, Latin American countries. And they were comparing notes among themselves to what all of them are doing.
So they brought their own stories of their own DVR programs.
Absolutely.
That's
right.
What didn't.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So they each of them described what they're doing in their countries, what works and what doesn't work, so they could all be learning from one another. Clearly the most robust program in the world is the one in Colombia. Heads and shoulders above the rest of them. The rest of them kind of shook their heads and said, this is awesome. And I can't imagine us ever doing this much and doing it this well. But it inspired them to go back home and say, you know, these very small programs we're doing is a great start, but it is not adequate. Because here's the problem. The concept of DDR has been fairly well known and established now. Fairly recent, but it is catching hold. Most of the places where they do it, they do one or two of the Ds. Mm-hmm. That is the demilitarization, demobilization. That is, they give up their guns and they are no longer part of the guerrilla force. The reintegration, the R part of it, rarely takes place much at all. Mm-hmm. You know, a week or a month at most, and often not even that.
And compare that with 6 years.
And the problem is, if all you do is the demobilization, demilitarization, and don't do the reintegration, very often these people can't fit back into the community and society. So what are they going to do? Either turn to crime or go right back into the jungle and become a guerrilla again. Mm-hmm. So you wasted the effort in the demilitarization and demobilization because they go right back to being violent. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're willing to make the long-term commitment to the reintegration, then the whole investment pays off.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Chick. This is such an amazingly compelling vision about a job of peace building that most people don't know very much about. And we'll really look forward to seeing how this unfolds in Colombia.
Well, it's extremely important. And I was just so inspired by what I saw there.
And we'll look forward to hearing more. So thank you.
You bet. My pleasure.